The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who has come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be on a 5-week journey through John chapter 6 over the next 5 Sundays. Every Sunday, we're going to get that much further in John chapter 6. And what we heard right now is verse 1 through 15, and the next Sunday we'll pick up where that one left off. But what I want to do is give you the trailer of the whole thing real quick now, and then we'll unpack the gospel for today. So in John chapter 6, first thing that happens is what we just heard right here. There's a miracle of loaves and fishes. They want to make him king. He goes off by himself. He sends the apostles out across the water to go back to Capernaum by themselves. He's not with them. And in the middle of the night, he comes walking on the water. Peter also walks on the water a little bit, starts to sink. He gets saved. And then they get to Capernaum. And then the next day comes a really interesting part. As if miracles, multiplication of loaves and walking on water isn't interesting. Because there in the town of Capernaum, Jesus goes to the synagogue, and all the people that saw that miracle that just took place go there, and he starts to preach to them in the synagogue. And he delivers what we call the bread of life discourse. And we'll be doing that for 4 Sundays straight, where he's preaching about this. There was this miracle of bread, and now he's giving this discourse on the bread of life, the real bread. And they're saying, "Okay, hey, that was great, Jesus. Give us some more of that bread." And he's saying, "Uh-uh. That's not the bread you should really be looking for. You're coming to me now because you're filled up, but with bread, and rightly so. But I've got another more greater thing that I want to give you." Now, I'm not going to unpack that because that's what we'll be doing the next Sundays. But so that's John chapter 6. And when he gets to the very end of that, a lot of people leave him because it's just too much. He's saying about, "You're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood." So we're in for a bit of a ride here. Now, through these 5 weeks, the first readings are always going to be shedding light on the gospel passage. And what we heard now is the miracle of multiplication of loaves that Elisha did. So this isn't the first time this has ever happened. And when the people see Jesus do it, they're thinking, "Oh, that's the same thing Elisha did. It's happening all over again. This is the prophet." And so now they know that this is something special, but our Lord's going to take them a step further. Okay, anyways, that's a summary. That's where we're going. But what I want to do is now unpack this particular passage of just the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. So now it starts with a very unique thing. It starts with Jesus saying, or excuse me, John, saying the Jewish feast of Passover was near. And when John says stuff like that, he's not just pointing out random things that like, for example, in real life, right now, today is the 203rd anniversary of the Independence Day for Peru. Okay, great. Yeah, but that doesn't really have a lot to do with what's going on today right now in the gospel. But when John's doing it, he's saying, no, listen, when I say it's a Passover, pay attention to that. And he does that with different feasts throughout his gospel. He talks about, and it was the Feast of Booths, or it says, and Pentecost was near. And he's trying to help the listener, the reader, give context to what is about to happen. The Passover. What was the Passover? Israelites, slaves in Egypt, and after 10 plagues, or after 9 plagues, finally comes the 10th plague, where the angel of death is going to pass over all of Egypt, killing all the firstborn, except those who eat the flesh of the lamb and eat the unleavened bread. And smear the blood on their doorsteps of that lamb. They will be saved. They will have life. And those who do not eat the flesh of the lamb and do not eat the unleavened bread will not have life. That's stark. That's what the Passover is about. So now, when the Passover is called to mind and Jesus is making a miracle of bread and he's about to really talk about this other bread that's supernatural, put it all together. That's what John wants us to do. He's encouraging us to do that. So the miracle itself is kind of straightforward. There's not a whole lot of about it that's like so many different things coming together in one specific moment, but it's laden with meaning, though, as all of his gestures are. And so first of all, we know that in addition to the Passover and this being a moment that Jesus knows as well, Jesus knew the timing of this. It even comes out. Jesus knew what he was going to do. And so we see that he's completely in control of the timing of things, the circumstances. People are very hungry. They've been carrying people from around the countryside to meet him where he is, and they're carrying people on stretchers, on their backs, however they can, to get their friends or relatives, their parents, there to be healed by Jesus, cured by Jesus. Many travel long distance just to hear him preach. And they didn't say, okay, well, I'm going to go out for 3 days. No, it's like they were just so drawn in, they went for an afternoon and ended up staying 3 days. Jesus has a way of doing that. Now, look at the way Jesus starts into this. It's almost like he's playing with Philip a little bit. He says, so, Philip, where are we going to get enough food for everybody? He knows what's going on. But it's like he wants Philip to kind of run into Philip's own limits. And Philip's like, what do you want me to do? I mean, there's too many people here. We can't, not even 200, you can't, we're not going to do, it's not going to happen, Lord. Great idea, nice thought. A little late, but nice thought. Andrew, Mr. Practical and Mr. Obvious, over on the side said, well, right here, we got a kid, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this kid's, hey, no, these are mine. Mom sent me out with these out so I could sell them and bring back. But the thing is, Jesus wants them to be reminded of their own human limits. Sometimes, before a miracle, our Lord allows us to come right up against what our own human limits are. Nice lesson. Another lesson. Then Jesus has this way of taking whatever it is that they have and using that. The very little insufficient thing they have yet, but you can't hang on to that little bit. The wedding of Cana, there's 10 large jars there, and Jesus doesn't just miraculously fill them up with wine. He said, no, go and fill them up with water. So they got to put some work in. They have to do their part. They have to fill them all the way up with water. And then he makes the miracle of turning the water into wine. Right here, he starts with the bread and fish of this boy who's there. He doesn't just like, okay, ready, angels, fish, boom. Bread, boom. No, he takes it and he multiplies what's already there. And so many of the miracles, too, they're taking place also when there is some faith, not a bunch, not a ton. They really weren't even sure that I don't know, Lord, if you will it, I guess I can be healed. But he said, do you have faith? Yes, Lord, but increase my faith. The Lord bringing them up to the limits of where they are, taking what little they have and making a miracle out of that. So always be ready to give the Lord the little that you have, because he wants to multiply it. He wants to make something special out of it. Now, as he's prepped them, Philip and Andrew and this nervous kid there, he asks everyone, okay, tell everybody to relax. There's all this, look, there's all this grass here. It's like, I don't know, like Central Park. You know, there's a big massive area and one of the great lawns or something like that. Just have everyone relax, lay down, have them recline. It's like Jesus is like thinking of like, well, let's make this enjoyable. I want them to appreciate this. I want to have them take a load off and let them not worry so much. Just relax. He's got it covered. He knows what the needs are. Just relax. He's had the timing figured out since before any of those people were even born. Then out comes, he starts handing out the loaves and the fishes, and there's just such a superabundance of loaves and fish. There's this extra generosity. It goes over above and beyond what they really needed. Did he have to do that? No. I mean, he could have had it measured perfectly so that everyone got exactly what they needed and there wasn't a single thing left over, yet no one was needed anymore. That would have been pretty cool. But no. But this is God's generosity. This is our Lord's heart. He's just, look, and more and more. And here, do you need some more? And we're going to put this in here. Put some in your pockets. And here it is. Okay, then he sends around the baskets to collect. And there's 12 wicker baskets full. And these are not the wicker baskets that you see in an old school Italian restaurant that are about like this big. This is going to be like a big old basket. And load those things up. There's so much left over. We're getting a snapshot of what his heart's like. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to meet us where we are. He wants to bless us. He wants to take things, the little we have, and make it even more. He wants us to be at peace. That's who he is. He ultimately knows the Passover is near. He's going to do this in an even greater way than just bread. It's going to do something even more special than that. And that thing we've been celebrating for the last 2,024 years, minus 33, whatever, until the first Last Supper is. You figure out the math. And we're doing it here today. Now, I want to shift gears. Sorry if it's a little abrupt, but I don't know a better way to do it. Friday, the Olympic, the show at the beginning of the Olympics, the opening ceremonies, that's what I was looking for. The Olympic opening ceremonies, those of you who saw it or saw snippets of it already on social media know that what was presented was something. At least one element of it. I didn't see the whole thing. I just saw what was put up on social media was absolutely disgusting, vile, sacrilegious. It's the Last Supper with a bunch of drag queens. I mean, it's horrendous. It's disgusting. I tell you, my first reaction was, I hope somebody just, I don't know. It wasn't good. I'll stop right there. And that's like a normal, natural reaction to have in a moment like that. But when we step back and we take it to prayer and bring it to our Lord and talk to Him about it, and then when you go in the context of a gospel like this, our Lord's superabundant love and generosity for us that is coming out not just in bread, but above all in the Eucharist, that very thing that they were mocking, the Last Supper. Maybe the better reaction isn't anger, but maybe it's sadness that they just have no idea what they're doing. Really. I mean, when our Lord, hanging on the cross, says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. When he's brought before there the same day of his crucifixion, he's brought before Herod, and they're making fun of him, and they're saying, hey, perform us a miracle. Hey, we heard you do all kinds of fun stuff. Why don't you do something for us? And they're not sincere. Jesus just remains silent. James and John would have wanted to call down fire, just consume the whole thing. Maybe we feel like that sometimes too. But when we have a scene like that happening right there on the river there in Paris, which you know goes right by Notre Dame Cathedral, where for centuries the Last Supper has been celebrated in the Mass. Saints have gone there. So many souls have found peace there. This beautiful cathedral, which is inspired by the very wonderful, miraculous thing that happens inside the Mass. And to have this go floating by, sadness, I think, is probably the best reaction. And Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. There is a very long-standing tradition in the church to make acts of reparation for sins. First of all, for our own, acts of contrition. It's not that we can actually make up for our sins, because there's no balance. I mean, you insult someone that's finite, well, there's a finite amount to make up for. When you insult someone who's infinite, well, okay, now you're really up a creek. But that's why the Lord comes in. But when we start at the beginning of the Mass, we said, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We're calling down, asking God's forgiveness and His mercy, yes, on us as individuals, but we want to do that and call down His mercy and forgiveness on us as a people, as a culture, as a society. Lord, have mercy. Give us your grace. Give us your forgiveness. Give us your healing. Lord, we don't know what we're doing. So maybe two particular ways that I would just encourage you to do that today. For those of you who are prepared to receive a communion, as you come forward and as our Lord is present here on the altar, to come forward with a sense of reparation, Lord, I'm here, and Lord, have mercy on us. And even though so many would have no idea what this is about and think it can be a casual thing of entertainment and derision, I'm going to hear, and Lord, I open my heart as best I can. I do want to receive you with respect, with adoration, with gratitude, with awe. When we see something that we love despised and unappreciated, let love for that very thing increase and grow. Let that be always our response.